I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Before Ontario and Toronto dropped their mask mandates on March 21st, the Toronto District School Board, known as the TDSB, wrote a letter to the province asking for more time to adjust to the new regulations for students and staff. Further, University Rosedale Ward 10 School Trustee Chris Moyes also wrote a letter to parents and guardians of his ward, notifying them about the development. In the letter, Moyes wrote that Chief Medical Officer of Health of Ontario, Dr. Kieran Moore, made a, quote, grave mistake by eliminating the mask mandates in school this early, leaving several immune-compromised students vulnerable and in an unfair situation. Today, he discusses his views on the end of the mask mandate and how he is working to maintain safety measures in the schools he oversees.
And as you probably are aware, the province has since lifted that mask mandate, and we have asked the province, Dr. Moore specifically and Dr. Davila, to perhaps keep the mask on for an additional 2 weeks after March break, just to see, like, you know, what the numbers are like. Because we know that these kids are went away on holidays abroad. They've gone to visit family, you know, wherever. And so with the way the COVID numbers are now, as we've seen them, and, you know, not only here in Ontario, but, you know, in Europe, for example, in the UK and elsewhere, and Asia, the numbers are going up. So just as a precaution, we did ask the province to, like, hold up for 2 weeks. And so we got a response last week, Friday, saying no, our request was denied. So really, we really didn't have a choice. According to the Education Act, you know, the minister gave directive to the director, right? Not to the board itself. And, you know, the director must comply with, you know, ministry PPMs, right? And so really, it's out of our purview as trustees to override that. I know the Hamilton Wentworth School Board did, but really, you know, to be fair, that would be illegal, right? Mm-hmm. According to the Education Act. So we actually did everything we could to keep the mask on for 2 weeks, but every avenue we took was denied. So the only option we had was to strongly recommend to our staff and to students to keep the mask on, right? Which is what we've done. Again, I've said publicly, everyone agrees Dr. Moore's decision. You know, one of my responsibilities as a school board trustee is to ensure the well-being of our students and our staff. And, you know, we are also still in the pandemic, right? It's not over. The numbers are rising in other communities, in other cities, in other countries. And in pockets of my own ward, for example, not all things are equal. Yes, you know, 89% of Ontarians are vaccinated. But if you look at the data more closely, the City of Toronto data, and it actually tells you that on their website as to where the pockets are and what percentages are, what that percentages are. There are pockets in the city where there's only 11% of certain communities that are vaccinated, right? Some of the lowest numbers are in my own ward. So, again, you know, if you look at this in an equity lens, you know, people who are more marginalized are the ones that are higher at risk. You know, another thing that really irritates me too is that primary schools, for example, they are allowed to keep their mask on, right? But also, we all know that, those who go to private schools are also majority vaccinated. Their families are vaccinated, right? Triple vax, actually. But yet, in public schools, that's not always the case. So why are we putting those that are greater at risk or further making their situation even more dire, right? And in some instances, you know, it's life and death. Like, you know, yes, majority of children don't get seriously ill from COVID, but their grandparents do. Their extended families do. We also know that in certain communities, you know, there are several generations in the household in a very confined space. You know, you may find perhaps, you know, 5, 6, or 7 more people in a 2-bedroom apartment, if you look closely at the data, right? If one person becomes ill, the entire household becomes ill. So, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, I don't know if Dr. Moore, I mean, he's a man of privilege. He comes from Kingston, Ontario. Maybe he doesn't see the things that I see here in Toronto and pockets of the city. But I've also said, too, you don't need a PhD for common sense to prevail, right? You know, you don't run into a burning house to grab your laptop if your house is on fire. You don't jump off, a ship in the northern Atlantic in winter just because you want to go for a swim, right? I mean, in instance of, you know, a pandemic, you know, what harm is there to keep a mask on? Like, really, what is the harm?
Boyce mentions the students who are immune compromised in his schools and that wearing a mask indoors should not be viewed as an intrusive thing to ask from individuals.
I've said to you, like, why don't you allow, for example, I mean, why would you not allow the school board to decide when they want to raise the mask mandate, right? You know, we also have vulnerable students in our community who have physical disabilities in our schools. You know, they are immune compromised. Like, don't they matter, right? You know, my job as a trustee is not to protect, you know, 80% of the population, but 100% of the population, right? We're not okay when all of us are not okay, right? So again, wearing a mask is not I don't think intrusive. You know, we wear clothes, and in the winter months, we wear boots on our feet and had mittens on our heads, you know, because it's cold outside, right? We tell our kids, you know, before they go out in the middle of winter, put on their jackets, you know? So wearing a mask is nothing, is not much more than that, asking much more than that. So I'm a little perturbed as to why the ministry and the government came on so hard on masking. Or against masking, for that matter.
With the lead-up to the June 2nd provincial election, Moyse says that he believes dropping the mandate was political.
I believe it's political. You know, we're near a provincial election in, 2 months or so. And I believe that has a part to play with it. But that being said, you know, I hope that my worries don't actualize, you know, in regards to kids and community getting sick as a result of COVID and the masking. But like I said, like, it's going to be harder to have kids masked up again when you've asked them to take it off, right? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, it just shows that people are incompetent when they do that. We know that, you know, perhaps I've heard that, you know, in the fall, in the winter months, the numbers will skyrocket again and we may have to wear masks again. Like, why are we, again, asking people to take masks off just to put it back on again, right? And people, and, you know, and to be fair, like, it's going to be harder to have people mask up, ask them to mask up again a second or third time when we've told them not to wear a mask.
You've mentioned that with your schools, you're still encouraging everyone to still wear a mask. Are there any other, I guess, procedures that you're encouraging within your ward to make sure that everyone, like the students and the staff, feel safe?
Well, again, you know, we're providing masks to all our staff and students, right? That hasn't stopped. We're encouraging everyone to wear a mask, right? That hasn't stopped. We just cannot force people at this point to wear a mask if they want to. But to me, you know, being in education, education is the key, right? I mean, we've explained to children from the very outset why wearing a mask is important, right? It's not only for their health, but the health of their community. So we continue to provide that messaging. You know, and I hopefully it's gotten into the heads of people in the system. But again, I mean, like a lot of things you teach your kids, you know, they go home and they tell their parents and educate their parents too, right? But at the end of the day, it's up to individual families to decide what it is they want and cannot do. You know, and I'm happy to hear, though, that some teachers have said that they will continue to wear a mask as long as their students are wearing it. In the sense that if there's one kid that's wearing a mask in the classroom, the teacher will wear the mask just to make sure the kids don't feel like, you know, an outsider, which is important.
When students did return from March break on March 21st, there were a series of student walkouts opposing the dropped mandate.
I guess like in terms of the opposition to ending this mask mandate, I'd just like to know more of your thoughts on the students who decided to stage a walkout in opposition to the dropped mandate yesterday, I think at 11 Toronto high schools.
Well, it happened in 12 high schools across the province, right? I don't know how many of our students or schools participated, but it was a grassroots initiative. You know, I mean, kids are very nimble and tech savvy now these days. They don't need adults in the room to tell them what to do and how to do. So they did this initiative on their own. Good for them. and I'm full support of students taking charge of their own health and safety in that regard. So, you know, that even though I did not participate or had a say in it, I fully supported it, right? And it's a strong message not only to other students in the system, but also to the adults that are listening and to government, right? So, and again, like I said, it's an election year. So kids do have influence in the household. And if parents, if they think their parents that, you know, the province has let them down, hopefully not the ballot box, the parents or those who can but remember that. And these kids too, I mean, they're in high school, a lot of them are in high school. And in a few years, they'll be able to vote. And they'll just be able to speak for themselves at the ballot. But, and I wish, you know, masking was not political, quite frankly. And to me, it's not a political issue. It never has been. I got into education to actually, you know, help our young people, you know, making an equitable system where, you know, everybody is able to get a leg up and to be their best self. And my job is to provide the infrastructure and the resources for them to do that. And so, you know, and health and safety, it should not be a political issue. I think masking is for me, masking is not a political issue. It's others around that made it political, right? And, you know, I may have to respond in a political way, but it's still not a political issue for me per se. It's a health and safety issue. And again, I want to reiterate, you know, we're still in a pandemic. We'd like it to be over, but, you know, we don't determine when the pandemic is over, right? And, you know, in the beginning of this pandemic too, you know, we're allowing science to determine our action. And, you know, yes, we're all tired, but there's no reason to put science aside and make decisions based on politics.
Overall, Moy said that masking should not be the biggest concern for residents at the moment.
In the beginning of this pandemic, it brought us together, I think, closer as a community, right? You know, because again, there's a lot of unknowns. And there's still many unknowns. But But now, you know, I just find that it's dividing people, and I hope we don't allow it to continue to be a wedge issue, right? You know, let's take care of each other. Let's continue to take care of each other. So there's enough stuff going on in the world that, you know, and the issue we have now about masking, it's really a first world problem, right? It really is. I mean, like, there are people in Africa and other parts of the world that are still looking for medication for COVID. So there's an inequity in the distribution of that medication. We know that. You know, there's currently, like, you know, war happening between Ukraine and Russia. Right? And so, again, the issue we have around masking, wearing it or not wearing it, is really a first world problem. You know, when we get to make it a life and death situation, in a sense. It is, but again, like, compared to what others are going through, you know, why make this an issue, right?
That was Chris Moyes, school trustee of Ward 10, University Rosedale. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.